Happy New Year, there is still a partial government shutdown. I'm going to talk through how the government shutdown affects the IRS and other issues with taxes. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
With the government shutdown, there are several things that are affected, and we call this a partial government shutdown because there is no way there can be a total government shutdown. For example, there have to be TSA agents at the airports, there have to be prison guards, there have to be at least skeleton crews working at different government areas to keep them functional. For example, at the national parks, though there are reports of overflowing trash cans and vandalism. So before long, some things need to be addressed because, for one thing, government workers are going without pay at this point, so they're going to have issues in paying their bills, that even though some creditors may be receptive to helping out the government workers without pay currently, and it is likely they will be reimbursed for working during these time periods for those that did, this is going to put the government workers in quite a bind during this period. One thing I was going to mention is that no matter when the government shutdown ends, it still will affect things that happen afterward. For example, next week, there is VITA training coming up. I was scheduled to help out with Leavenworth, so I don't know what training will happen at Fort Leavenworth during this period. And then the following week, in Kansas, there is the practitioner liaison meeting. During that time, there are updates from the various departments within the IRS, and January 17 through 19 is the American Bar Association Tax Section 2019 Mid-Year Tax Meeting in New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, that meeting can go on, but how many of the IRS personnel or other government workers, such as tax court judges, will be able to attend or take part within the meeting, those will certainly be affected if they are not able to work in the meantime or the shutdown ends close to the meetings. Those will certainly be issues. Now, also, I've mentioned in Kansas City, we have tax court coming up in February and March. Apparently, with the February calendar, there are several cases yet to be resolved, so there is talk of doing a pro bono day. This is the first one I know of in Kansas City, certainly the first one I've taken part with. So that affects the planning and the mailing of flyers to the petitioners the longer the government shutdown goes on. And I only happen to know of a couple people within the IRS personally that are working, but I was going to give you an overview of some closings and who is working during this time. There are some postings on procedurally taxing I wanted to bring your attention to. The December 29, 2018 posting talks about the tax court operations during the federal government shutdown, that they were able to be open through Thursday, December 27, because they had a reserve of funds from the fees they collect, but they were shut down starting Friday, December 28 at 11:59 p.m., and they are remaining closed until further notice. However, the trial sessions scheduled on the weeks of January 7 and 14 are proceeding as scheduled. There was a later procedurally taxing blog post about how the government shutdown will affect petitions filed with the tax court, whether those are timely filed or not. Within the article, it was stating that for procrastinators, this may be some assistance to them. For people who have strategy for waiting until the last minute, but it also makes it tricky to determine timely filing during these periods when having to look at what days the clerks are working, what days the court is open. So it is certainly my advice to people to timely file based on mailing with the U.S. Post Office. Postal Service is still working during this time, so it is best to file that way. Now, there was a prior posting to procedurally taxing on December 27. A guest blogger, Bob Kamen, posted about the IRS contingency plan, a 110-page document that the IRS put together in case of a government shutdown. Now, talking through their priorities, the first one is opening the mail to look for checks or other payments. The next priority is to get those payments to the bank to cash those checks. The third priority, protecting the statute of limitations for collection and assessment from expiring. The fourth priority, keeping the computers running and to keep preparing for tax season. And the fifth priority, to keep preparing for implementation of the 2017 tax law changes because money for that has already been appropriated. So of the total workforce of the IRS, 79,868 employees, there are 9,946 who are accepted to some extent from the furlough. The main accepted employees are categorized as A, B, or C. Category A employees have jobs that include those authorized by law and those funded by multi-year, no-year, and revolving funds or advance appropriations that would not be affected by a lapse in an annual appropriation. There are 1,900 of those. Category B employees perform tasks that are necessary for the safety of human life or protection of government property. That includes administrative, research, and other overhead activities, supporting accepted activities, such as completion and testing of the upcoming filing year programs, processing paper tax returns through batching, and upcoming tax year forms, design, and printing. There are 8,017 of those employees. Category C employees are those needed to bring about the orderly close down of non-accepted activities. Activities of employees during this period must be wholly devoted to close down the function. Upon completion of these activities, these employees would be released. There are 29 of those, including the only three from the Office of Professional Responsibility with any shutdown duties. Now, there was also a Forbes article around this time stating that a partial list of functions directly impacting taxpayers that are typically put on hold during a government shutdown. So no tax refunds are issued, no processing of non-disaster relief transcripts, no processing of amended returns, no non-automated collections, no audit or examinations, though some exceptions apply, no legal counsel, and no call center during non-filing season. A partial list of functions that will typically continue during a government shutdown are the processing of returns with payments, processing disaster relief transcripts, e-filing up to the point of refunds, design and printing of tax forms, appeals, statutory deadlines will not be changed, certain civil and criminal tax cases, statute expiration, bankruptcy, liens, and seizure cases, active criminal investigations, and the IRS.gov website. So the main person who is still working, top of the list, is the IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig. He's a presidential appointee not subject to furlough. Also, a handful of deputy commissioners and chiefs of staff will also remain on staff or on call as needed. There are accepted employees that include appeal staff and lawyers to ensure that statutory deadlines are met. If courts close or if appeals determines that staff and employees aren't needed, then they will be furloughed. The same general rules apply to the Office of Chief Counsel. So dozens of employees will stay on with the Taxpayer Advocate Service in some capacity. So there are 84 employees, the National Taxpayer Advocate and the local Taxpayer Advocate for each Taxpayer Advocate Service office. So the local taxpayer advocates are to report intermittently to check the mail. They check mail 1 to 2 hours a day, up to 3 days a week, to comply with the requirement to open and process checks during a shutdown, as well as screening the mail for incoming requests for taxpayer assistance orders and notifying the appropriate business unit that a request has been made, tolling any statute of limitations. Now, the entire criminal investigation Department 2,745 will continue working during the government shutdown. Under a dozen employees keep the IRS.gov website up and running, but more than 3,000 IT-related workers stay in place to ensure that taxpayer data is protected and that computer systems function appropriately. With chief counsel, that person is a presidential appointee who is not subject to furlough, but 286 must show up now and would be paid later. That those personnel assigned to litigation scheduled for trial or where there is a court-imposed deadline during the first 5 days of a lapse. Personnel are not generally accepted to perform litigation activities where a trial or other court-imposed deadline is scheduled more than 5 days after the start of the lapse. Personnel assigned to those cases should seek continuances as part of an orderly shutdown. If a continuance is denied, the case will be reviewed to determine if work on the case may be accepted. Those personnel are also accepted on an as-needed basis to provide legal advice necessary to protect statute expiration and the government's interest in bankruptcy, lien, and seizure cases. Within appeals, there are 18 employees accepted from the shutdown. A minimum number of technical staff to ensure statutory deadlines are met. Taxpayer compliance cases, when appealed, must be adjudicated within a statutory timeline that is not under the control of the IRS. If cases are not monitored, statutes may lapse, resulting in adverse impacts to the IRS and U.S. government tax collection functions. During the lapse, the Chief of Appeals will hold a daily virtual meeting with accepted personnel to identify imminent statutory deadlines or other threats to government property. As necessary, those accepted personnel will be activated to take actions that address the imminent threat. All other employees will return to furlough status until the following day. So overall, it sounds like the criminal investigations and IT departments within the IRS are running about as usual, while other departments may have a skeleton staff that are keeping things moving for the IRS to keep checks cashed and prevent statutory expiration dates from passing. Otherwise, any other interactions with the IRS will likely have to wait until after the government shutdown is over. So hopefully this informs you of some of what is going on with the IRS during this time. I am going to be trying to get caught up on other issues related to clients and getting things organized for grant reporting during this time, but hopefully the government shutdown will not last too much longer so that we can get other work done during this time. Some of what I've noticed that will affect this is innocent spouse processing, offer and compromise processing, and other processing issues. All of that, while the IRS had a backlog, everything will be pushed back even further during this time, so we will just have to let our clients know that everything is going to take this much longer because of the government shutdown. So I think no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, I hope that you would agree it is best for the shutdown to end sooner rather than later, because many people are affected by the shutdown on several levels, and it would be best if it finishes so we can all get things done for our clients. So here's to hoping for better news in the coming weeks, and I appreciate your taking the time to hear my thoughts on what the government shutdown means and how it affects all of us.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.